We are back with On the Way Up, WNCW's new music podcast. I'm your host, Joe Kendrick. Glad to be back after our October break for the Fall Fun Drive, which was fantastic. Thanks to listeners who decided to become members, we had a record month and brought in over $230,000. No time to rest on our laurels, though, as we still have a lot of music to do in episode 47 here. And on this podcast, we have new music, including Canadian cousins Casey and Clayton, a couple of our favorite bands from Charlotte, a tasteful jazz disc featuring Rachel Price of Lake Street Dive, and a segue of the show that goes in a goth direction. In the segment DJ for a Day, I get to talk with Shankar Vedantam of NPR's Hidden Brain about the physiological effects of listening to and performing music, why we seem to gravitate towards familiar more than new music, and more. This episode also introduces a new member to the podcast team as we welcome our intern Joshua Ming, who researched the artists and songs you're about to hear. First up, the latest from Casey and Clayton and their song In a Time of Doubt on WNCW's new music podcast, On the Way Up.
Out in the cold. Well, I'm sitting in my kitchen, counting out my pennies, counting troubles too, not one the other many. I always did my best, but my better days have gone. So here I go, I'm gonna take the last train home. Well, I moved here in the summertime, bought a cabin in the trees. I wore a red coat that fell just below my knees. Now the summer and my coat are both gone. I'm chilled to the bone. It's getting late, I'm gonna take the last train home. Last train home, last train home. That's the only train I've ever known. And I'm all alone on the last train home. I'm sitting with my enemies, we're talking out of line. Some of the things I seen make me wish that I was blind. Language is no use to them, they mumble and they moan. So goodbye, farewell, I'm gonna take the last train home. Last train home, the last train home. That's the only train I've ever known. And I'm all alone on the last train home. Now I'm sitting neath the hazel tree in this black dark night, hoping things will change, though the chances are slight. Beneath my lonely earth and up above the starry dome, and the time has come, I'm gonna take the last train home. Last train home, the last train home. That's the only train I've ever known. And I'm
Jeb Lloyd Nichols has lived in Missouri, Texas, New York, and London, and he found his home in the Welsh Hills in the 1980s. June is Short, July is Long is Jeb Lloyd's 11th solo release, and that was Last Train Home. The Westwood All-Stars are Nichols' touring band, backing him on the album, and to make it, they recorded a series of live demos. During playback, the crew decided they were fine as they were. Nichols then overdubbed a couple of horn players, tracked some additional backing vocals, and took it out of the oven. We've been playing Jeb Lloyd Nichols' music here on WNCW since the early 90s, when he was in the band Fellow Travelers. He got to number 54 in 2017's Top 100 on WNCW with his previous album, Country Hustle, and will be on the list of artists that you could put in your top 10 when we begin the voting just after Thanksgiving. That will be on our website at wncw.org. In the middle was L.A. group A La La's, whose trademark throwback garage psych sound gets an update on their fourth release, La's, spelled L-A-H-S, as opposed to the spelling of their band's name, which is spelled L-A-S. That's a reference to the fact that so many people spell their name that way. Their song Polar Onion, quote, talks about the creeping paranoia that comes along with creating something that is inevitably valued based on the opinions of others, end quote, says guitarist Miles Michaud, adding that the song, quote, takes us through the inevitable lows one encounters on a long journey, end quote. Also, somewhat dark lyrically, we began the show with Casey and Clayton Linthicum and their song In a Time of Doubt from their album Carrying On. Like Jeb Lloyd Nichols, they brought us their last album in 2017, which also placed in our top 100 that year. Casey and Clayton are second cousins who grew up on ranches in Western Canada and still call Saskatchewan home, but now they spend plenty of time away, and right now they are touring their home country along with the United States and will have dates in Europe through the winter. Casey and Clayton have added a rhythm section on this album, which was produced by Jeff Tweedy. Coming up is DJ for a Day with special guest Shankar Vedantam after this next set, which begins with Billy Strings.
One, two, three. Trouble I might find. Run to the river, run to the sea. Run from the evil that's been calling you and me. If we keep rolling right out of town, we'll reach the promised land before they tear it down.
I'll be at your door. Take your time. No, don't you worry. I'm at your mercy, good Lord, hell all the time. Clean the house, wash the dishes, scratch your back every time it itches. That's me. I do this working for free. The horn from a dream, though I steady worry. But I stand here surely, good Lord, hell all the time. Well, all the time, like a rainstorm runs, like a telephone line winds, hell all the time. We'll be right back. hand. And that river's gonna wind. And that trouble way that you're living will keep you looking behind. No mountains won't move, no matter how they talk to. But I keep talking about you, good Lord, and hell all the time. Song runs like a telephone line winds. Yeah, like a rain song runs like a telephone line winds. Oh, like a rain song runs like a telephone line winds. Hell all time.
two bands from the Queen City in that set, finishing up with Charlotte, North Carolina quartet Alonzo Wesley. That was All God's Children, From Songs to No One, a concept album with the theme of human experience at its core. That tune finds singer-songwriter Jeremy Davis contemplating how all humans are equal regardless of circumstances, touching on the current migrant crisis. It's a largely family endeavor with Alonzo Wesley, as Davis is joined by sister Maggie on keyboards and her husband Dan Bordeaux on drums. Davis has had to overcome a fairly common handicap of music artists saying, quote, "I was scared of getting on stage. I was scared of writing a song that people might think is ridiculous or terrible. The biggest lesson is if you face your fear, most likely you're going to be fine and come out with a skill or a song or happiness," end quote. Tim Sawyer gave us All the Time from their disc Mountain Howdy ahead of that on the Charlotte by way of Elkin, North Carolina group's 7th studio recording. They continue to bridge rock and acoustic traditions with songs by founding member Sam Talo and one by guitarist Luke Mears, who adds Vinyl Junkie to the mix, as Tim Sawyer is offering this release on vinyl for the first time ever. I got to profile Tim Sawyer in my other podcast, Southern Songs and Stories, last year, and went back to their annual Reevestock Music Festival this summer, where I interviewed the band Mipso for that series as well. You can find Southern Songs and Stories on WNCW's website at southernsongsandstories.com and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Billy Strings is having a monster year, winning both Guitarist of the Year and New Artist of the Year at the 2019 IBMA Awards and making his debut at the Grand Ole Opry. That was the song Running from his new release titled Home. Billy Strings is not exactly a new artist since his first album, Turmoil and Tinfoil, landed 2 years ago, but it is great to see that he's getting recognized. It's well-deserved, because he can do things on the guitar that are astounding, and he now brings a nuance and restraint to his playing that makes it irresistible. It's music that is bluegrass at heart, but does not always color within the lines. There is an ethereal instrumental here, along with a nearly 8-minute jam, for example. It also is a very personal record, putting both good and bad experiences of Billy's life out there for all to hear. His band includes special guests like Molly Tuttle and Jerry Douglas joining in. Next up, NPR's Shankar Vedantam talks with me about music and the brain. So, the brain on music. What sort of insights do you have, Shankar, about how people's brains are affected by engaging with music, maybe physiologically or otherwise?
Well, I mean, this has been a question that has been of great interest to researchers for a very long time, because in many ways, the fact that our minds are so attuned to music and so interested in music and so shaped by music doesn't make sense. I mean, in much of the case, you know, especially when you're listening to instrumental music, for example, you're listening to something that actually does not have content to it. So why is it that music moves us so powerfully, makes us feel things so powerfully? And I certainly feel that. Of all the arts, I feel like music shapes me and changes how I feel more than any other art form that I can think of. There's been a lot of work on this subject, so I won't be able to cover all of it, but I'll just mention a couple of things to you. I remember doing a story for NPR a couple of years ago, looking at what happens when you have music as the soundtrack for different shows. So when you have visual content, in this case, I believe the experiment had, you know, visual content showing sharks swimming around, but in one case, the background music was ominous and scary, and in the other case, the background music was uplifting. You know, it felt like you were watching a nature documentary. And the visuals are exactly the same, but of course, when you quizzed volunteers afterwards, the people who heard the ominous music thought that sharks were dangerous creatures and, you know, were less willing to fund shark conservation, whereas the people who heard the music that was uplifting, the nature documentary, you know, came away feeling, you know, sharks are one of the great, you know, the majestic species in nature and were actually more pro-funding of environmental causes. And it's just a small example of how something that we all know intuitively, which is the background music shapes how we feel in ways that are extraordinarily powerful. I just spoke with one researcher who conducted this really interesting study in British Columbia, looking at middle school and high school students, about 110,000 of them. And this was a study that asked, what is the effect of actually playing a musical instrument, of learning music, on your academic performance. And this question has been tackled before, and you often find correlations between academic performance and learning an instrument, for example. But it's always been unclear whether this is just correlation or causation. And what I mean by that is, let's say you have a smart kid who's doing well in his or her studies and also takes up a musical instrument. Is the fact that he or she was learning music, did that have anything to do with the academic performance, or are the two things just happening to occur together? They just correlated, but they're not actually, one is not driving the other. But in this study, they actually tracked students over time, including students who began to learn music around the eighth grade. And what they found systematically is that learning music, especially the more engaged you were in learning music, improved your performance in almost every academic discipline, from math to reading to science. And the students who spent the most amount of time, and especially students who learned instrumental music, which perhaps requires, you know, some special skills in terms of learning this new language and hand-eye coordination, these students seem to be especially helped by spending many, many hours dedicated to music when it came to their academic performance. So those are just two of the examples of the many ways I think music potentially influences us, but there's literally hundreds of other examples.
Is there anything that you know about the difference between listening to new music versus listening to familiar music? How do we so easily fall back on old favorites and sometimes takes longer to glom onto or to embrace new music?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. There's been some interesting work looking at how, nearly for everyone, the music they heard when they were in their teens and early 20s often become the defining music of their lives. So when you speak to any generation and you ask them what the best music is, people will invariably point to the music that they listened to as teenagers or in their 20s. And then you ask 40 and 50 and 60-year-olds about contemporary music, and they will invariably tell you that contemporary music is not as good as the music they heard in their 20s. And some of this, I think, has to do with, you know, what happens to us in our teens and 20s. We're often going through emotionally turbulent times, and music ends up being the soundtrack to our lives, and we're associating music not just with the art form or not just with what we're hearing, but with the events in our lives. One of the things that's very powerful about music, that's in some ways an intuitively obvious thing to say, is that music seems intimately connected with our emotional systems. And so one of the reasons I think we gravitate to familiar music, I know one of the reasons that I gravitate to familiar music, is when I'm feeling something. So if I'm feeling happy or I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling anxious, I turn to music in some ways as a form of psychotherapy. I'm using it in some ways to modulate how my brain is operating. So just as people might reach for an antidepressant or, you know, a glass of wine at the end of a busy day, I think people turn to music for exactly the same reason, because they have learned over many decades that music has this effect on the brain. And songs that we have heard over many years, old favorites that we know have reliably elicited certain emotions from us, we turn to them in some ways, as a form of psychotherapy.
I'm one of those people, I think you might be one of those people too, Shankar, that I could listen to music constantly. It's kind of my job, but it seems like I was born to do this, because I was fascinated with the radio, fascinated with music from a very early age, and I can listen to it almost all the time, and I find that it helps me concentrate. And on the flip side of that, it helps me concentrate so much that I even know lyrics to some of the songs that I don't like. And when other people can ignore music, right, like in a mall or in a store or something, I just can't keep from focusing on how much I don't like that song. Is that unusual?
Well, I mean, I guess everyone sometimes suffers from earworm. You know, you hear a tune and then it gets stuck in your head and you can't get it out of your head. I have to say, I'm not sure how common your experience is. I myself actually find that music moves me greatly, but I find that I don't necessarily concentrate very well when I'm listening to an evocative piece of music. It's very hard for me to concentrate on something else while that's happening in the background. So I often have to turn off the music to be able to focus on writing a story, for example. But I know lots of people who find that the music in some ways soothes their minds. It allows them to actually calm down and allow them to focus on writing. I see lots of teenagers and middle schoolers who have their headphones in as they're doing their math homework. And clearly it's helping them do their math homework in ways that it doesn't quite work for me. I'm not familiar if there's specific research on this question, but it's certainly something that's fascinating and worth exploring.
This has been great, Shankar. Do you have any other resources or things you might like to point us to in this direction if people want to find out more?
Well, there's certainly, I think, a lot of work being done looking at the intersection between music and the brain. There have been books, entire books that have been written about the subject, of course, because I think people have just been fascinated by this. I think there's work that, you know, depending on people's interests, there's work in history, but there's also work in psychology. There's work in brain chemistry and neuroscience, you know, where you play different kinds of music to people and you scan their brains as they're listening to different pieces of music that have found connections. The academic literature is really quite broad. Anyone who wants to learn more should just simply, you know, go to Google Scholar and type in music and the brain, and they will have literally hundreds and hundreds of papers to read.
Shankar, I really appreciate your time. It's been wonderful talking to you today.
Thank you so much, Joe. Really appreciate it.
We'll be right back. to the other side. You can say it's all the same. We can watch it all below. You'll feel better, I'll just say, when you finally let it go. I think you like it more than pain, but until then you never know. You'll feel better, I'll just say.
That was Marco Benevento with Say It's All the Same from Let It Slide. For the first time in his solo career, Benevento worked with an outside producer, saying, quote, I'd never put my music so completely in someone else's hands before. I'd been hesitant to work with outside producers in the past, but the experience of making this record ended up being so freeing and exciting. I loved every single minute of it, end quote. Feeling fine and feeling free are themes in that song as well as the whole record. And it sounds like Benevento and new producer Leon Michaels are off to a great start. Marco Benevento will tour North and South Carolina with stops in Asheville, Charlotte, Carrboro, and Charleston in late January. Hannah Williams and the Affirmations started us with the title track from 50 Foot Woman. Fun fact, Hannah could read music before she could read most words and joined a church choir at the age of 6. After being featured on Jay-Z's album 444, she is primed to make a big splash in the funk and soul scene. Sean Lee produced the album after Hannah Williams and the Affirmations had time to tour extensively and play most all of its 11 songs and get a direct response from their audience about how good they were. Still to come, it's our segue of the show, pairing a Susie and the Banshees classic with the latest from Angel Olsen. First, this is Do Friends Fall in Love by Rachel and Villerie.
Something new, and I know you felt it too, when we fell into the passion of a kiss. Around the world, we've shared these roads together. Every journey is grand when you're holding my hand. Do friends fall in love like this? A love that once was merely blazes with an ardent desire. A touch that once was just a touch burns hotter than a five-alarm fire. Oh, say you're mine for all our days to follow. What was innocent before has become a grand amour. Two friends fell in love like this. With an ardent desire. A touch that once was just a touch burns hotter than a five-alarm fire. Oh, say of mine, for all our days to follow, as friends we lived before,
and we'll live evermore
together, two friends in love.
Don't take it for granted, love, when you have it, you might be looking over a lonely shoulder. Remember when we said we'd never have children. I'm holding your baby now that we're older. How time has revealed how little we know us. I've been too busy, I should have known this. Days that keep slipping, a life that I'm missing. I wish it were true love, I wish we were kissing. Show me your love, I won't ever leave. Oh, look for another one to deceive. I'm beginning to wonder if anything's real. Guess we're just at the mercy of the way that we feel.
From the cradle bars comes a beckoning voice that sends you spinning. You have no choice.
You hear laughter.
wrapping up this episode of On the Way Up with Susie and the Banshees and Spellbound from their 1981 album Juju. Angel Olsen might have some Susie in her record collection, judging from the sound of her fourth record called All Mirrors, and she gave us the song Spring in the middle of the set. What started out as a back-to-basics solo album became much more ambitious, with two arrangers and a 14-piece orchestra. Olsen is on the lineup of the High Water Festival in North Charleston next April. Starting that set was the duo Rachel and Villery with Do Friends Fall in Love from their self-titled debut. You know Rachel Price from Lake Street Dive, and she is joined by Villery, who just goes by Villery, and spells his name V-I-L-R-A-Y. They met as classmates at the New England Conservatory of Music and have played together for years. It took a while to get around to making this album, though. Price said, quote, "We tried to make a few recordings a year in, but we realized there was a lot of sonic discovery that needed to be addressed, a lot of thinking about how these songs really needed to sound. That could be done so much better after we toured a couple of times and played the songs in different ways and lots of different tempos and saw how the audiences laughed and reacted. That was an important part of the process," end quote. Our process is all but complete for this episode of WNCW's new music podcast, On the Way Up. I'm your host, Joe Kendrick, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Of course, we play these songs and artists in our music mix, but many are also on our Spotify playlist. You can find that listed simply as WNCW New Music under our profile there, which also has holiday-themed playlists like Thanksgiving. If you haven't checked out our presentation of the Thanksgiving holiday yet, by all means, check that out. Please support the artists you enjoy hearing here and the radio station that brings them to you on your FM dial, on your web stream, and in podcasts like this one. Becoming a member and helping us to continue our mission is quick and easy, and you can find out all about it on our website at wncw.org. Our theme song from Eliza Lynn takes us away.
Sing a new song. Sing a new song where the sky meets the ground.